Good morning and welcome to worship at First Baptist Church Savannah, Georgia, on this first Sunday after the Epiphany, sometimes also known as the Baptism of the Lord. We are so glad that all of you were able to join us today for the worship of God in this good place. If you're from north of here, you need to understand this is cold weather for us in Savannah, so we appreciate you braving the temperatures and joining us this morning. Everyone present is invited to sign one of the guest registers, the pew registers, as they're passed a bit later in the service, for this always helps us to know each other better. And if you are our guest today, we would especially look forward to meeting you and getting to know you better following the worship service. Once again, welcome to all. Would you join me now in the call to worship? Baptized to begin lives of faith. Baptized to serve. Baptized to speak. Baptized to do what is right.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, who created us and loves us, we take a moment this morning to pause and consider the world in which we live, to calm our hearts, settle our minds, and consider all that you have accomplished. And when we do that, we are filled with awe and wonder, and we feel your spirit among us. In that wonder, help us to hear your voice and help us to know how it brings to life all that is good in the world. Today we pray that we might truly sense the miracle of who you are, what you have done, what you are still doing, and what we all can do through you. You offer to us new beginnings day after day and year after year, and we pray that we not only see them but be bold enough to walk into them with you. We pray all these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Christ, save for us, you were baptized.
you join with me as together we affirm our faith? We believe in God, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all God's works, and whose will is ever directed to the good of all people. We believe in Jesus Christ, the gift of God's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the divine presence in our lives, through which we constantly know the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should express itself in the service of love, as shown through the example of our Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. I have a very easy question for you. What is this?
A glass of water.
Yes, this is a plain, old, simple, regular, nothing special glass of water. But water, though it looks kind of boring, is really important. Water is everywhere, and plants and animals and people absolutely have to have water in order to live. Because if we didn't have it, we wouldn't be alive, right? And we use water all the time, even though we may not even think about it. We drink it. We clean with it. We play in it. We swim in it. We make electricity using it. We cook with it. Water is everywhere. And the Bible talks about it a lot, too. Today is a story. We're reading a story about water. And it's about John the Baptist, who is standing in the Jordan River. And he's teaching and he's preaching while standing in water. And he's telling people that Jesus is coming. And he's getting them ready. And one of the ways he's getting them ready is he's baptizing them in the water, which means he puts them all the way down in the water and he brings them all the way back up. And he's telling them that they are part of God's family. But also, when he baptizes them, he says, I am baptizing you with water. But the one who is more powerful than I am is coming. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, who's more powerful than John the Baptist? Yeah. That's right. Jesus is coming. And so Jesus, while using water as a symbol, baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus comes, and he comes to baptize people, and he makes that a really powerful thing. Now, in our church, we baptize people with water, too. And they come, and they stand right up there in the baptistry behind where those flowers are, and they go all the way down in the water, and they come all the way back up.
How do you even put the water in there without the flowers?
Oh, the flowers get moved. It's like a big bathtub. And since Jesus has already come, that water reminds us that we are baptized not just with plain old water, but also with the Spirit of God and with the Spirit of Jesus with us. Now, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, God watched. And God said, this is my son. And I am very, very pleased with him. And it was kind of like God saying, he's mine. He belongs to me. And so when one of us gets baptized, God says and God thinks the same thing. This is my daughter. Or this is my son. And she is mine. Or he is mine. And I am very well pleased. So with plain old water, we are reminded that we belong to God. And that's an important thing. So when you all use water, and that's a lot. So if you drink a glass of water, or if you wash your hands, or if you go outside and rain falls on your head, maybe even snow, we don't know. It could happen. Remember that you are a special part of God's family. And that when we're baptized with water, we're reminded that the Spirit of God is always with us. No matter what, God is loving us all the time and saying, she is mine.
He,
that's right. But we're all girls up here today, aren't we? All right. So I want you to try to remember that because that's a very important thing. Okay? Can you all pray with me? God, we thank you for being our God and for wanting us to be your children. Thank you for loving us, for giving us things like water to remind us how much you love us, and for giving us your son, Jesus. We pray that you help us to love all other people the way that he did. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not fail or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and what comes from it. He gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Herein ends the first lesson.
Our second lesson this morning is Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 3 and beginning to read at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now,
For it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the written word of the Lord. This is the time of the year when we reflect, most of us at least, on all that has happened to us in the past 12 months, and then we look forward with some measure of anticipation to the year just ahead. More than one commentator, and more than one of you, has observed in recent weeks that 2016 was an especially difficult year for Americans. News from around the world seemed to predominate with the themes of cruelty and terrorism and division on nearly every hand. Washington politicians were seemingly unable to agree on much of anything, and congressional gridlock became the order of the day. The nation suffered through one of the most contentious presidential campaign seasons in recent memory, with a new national executive taking office in less than 2 weeks now to lead a deeply divided country, and major national challenges having to do with immigration reform, education, and the environment remain to be addressed. Locally, I might add, we had to deal with both a tropical storm in the month of September and a major hurricane in October. Almost everyone agrees it was a hard year. This has called to my mind a similar situation, and I forget exactly when this happened, but probably 20 years ago now, when Queen Elizabeth of England made the headlines in responding to a newspaper reporter's question about the year just ending. The Queen called it Annus Horribilis. Translated, she said it had been a horrible, terrible year. She was referring at the time, as I recall, to the breakup of the storybook romance between Prince Charles and Princess Diana, a very serious fire that had occurred in Windsor Castle, and still more trouble brewing between Prince Andrew and his wife Fergie. It was easy to see, knowing all that had happened, why the Queen felt as she did. And perhaps a majority of Americans feel something of the same thing about the year just ended, 2016. The thing about the year we just said goodbye to is that it is, of course, now entirely known to us. There are no more surprises. The year 2016 is no longer a mystery. With the benefit of hindsight, we know where we succeeded and where we failed, what pleased us and what did not, who was born and who died, and when we lived up to our calling and when we did not. We know both the positives and the negatives of 2016. On the other hand, the year ahead of us, 2017, is not so well known. It is not anything close to a sure thing. The year ahead is pretty much a clean slate before us right now, just like all of those empty, clear pages in your 2017 calendar books and day timers. We know that we will be making up this next year as we go along by virtue of the decisions we will make the people and the events of our lives and how we respond to them, as well as the goals and standards we choose to live by. I think that is why people this time of year are oftentimes interested in making New Year's resolutions. According to one Gallup poll I saw not long ago, something approaching 50% of all Americans say that they plan to make resolutions for the new year. Maybe it's true. I have seen more television commercials, I think, in recent days to help people stop smoking than I can ever remember. It really has seemed like the number of walkers and joggers in our neighborhood has picked up the last 2 weeks, and the advertisements for exercise equipment and weight loss systems seem to be almost at an all-time high. A new year is always a time of beginning again, precisely because it is open before us and full of possibilities for us all. Now, the calendar of the Christian year also helps us in this regard with the season of Epiphany. You may have celebrated it in your own devotional life this past week by reading again the story of the wise men and thinking about how it speaks of sharing the gospel with all the nations of the earth. The interesting thing is that when the Feast of Epiphany began to be observed by Christians back in the 3rd century, it was in the Eastern Church. And then, always as a celebration of Christ's baptism, and only occasionally of his nativity, his birth. In the Western Church, Epiphany was first observed in the 4th century as the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, with the wise men taking central place, but with the baptism of Christ also being mentioned. So that, you see, is why our gospel lesson for today invites us to look again at the baptism of Jesus and to think about what it was that made that a significant event. We see right away that it was a kind of inaugural event, a time of new beginning, which not only sets the ministry of Jesus apart from that of John the Baptist, but also marks a beginning in its own right. This was almost like an ordination for Jesus, which would launch his ministry of good works and healing through which the power of God would be shown. As Luke writes in the book of Acts, it would soon become obvious that God was with him. It was the beginning of a new era in which the good news of peace was proclaimed. And it was clear that Jesus was to be understood as Lord of all, and that forgiveness of sins was possible in his name. On the first Sunday after the Epiphany each year, one of the texts of the baptism of Jesus serves as the lectionary gospel lesson for the day. This year, we have heard that story as Matthew describes it for us, including that voice from heaven which publicly proclaims Jesus as the Son of God. In telling their stories, both Matthew and Luke follow Mark, but each has a very distinctive voice. Matthew seems especially concerned in his gospel account to answer any questions that his readers might have as to the reason for Jesus' baptism. Why did he need it? That Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River is an historical certainty. And even the most liberal scholars out there today say that for the simple reason that the early church never, ever would have made up a story like that. Think about it. After all, why would Jesus go for baptism at the hands of a wild and fiery preacher who called for repentance and the forgiveness of sin. This, we know, was a great puzzle to many persons in the early church, especially since they all affirmed that Jesus had lived a sinless life. Saint Jerome, that 4th century scholar of the church who translated most of the Bible from the original languages into Latin, once quoted an apocryphal gospel account, which, by the way, never ever made it into the New Testament, in which Jesus responds to his mother's suggestion that they both be baptized by saying, "In what have I sinned that I should go and be baptized by him?" That's what Jesus said to Mary. "Unless perhaps what I have just said is a sin of ignorance." You see, early Christians struggled with the idea of why a sinless Jesus would begin his ministry by being baptized by John the Baptist. Perhaps that is why Matthew makes three strong statements in this text. First, he says that Jesus went to the Jordan to be baptized by John. In other words, Jesus intended to do this. He was not just merely in the neighborhood one day and thought, "Well, now this will be a clever idea. This is a good thought to have." Nor was he caught up in the emotion and the excitement of John the Baptist preaching. Jesus meant to do this. Second, Matthew notes that John recognized that Jesus did not fit the typical pattern of those who were coming to him in repentance, seeking the forgiveness of their sins. So in a sense, Jesus actually transcended the baptism of John. And third, Jesus says that his reason for being baptized was to fulfill all righteousness, which is to say, Jesus was doing what God wanted him to do. And consequently, it became an act of obedience to the commands of God. Now, the other concern of Matthew is to say something about John the Baptist and the relationship of Jesus to him. John, of course, had his own disciples, and a movement quite naturally developed around him. A story like this, think about it now, a story like this with John baptizing Jesus might have been used by the followers of John to suggest that their leader was actually superior to Jesus. And perhaps some of them did. We don't know. It's not a coincidence, though, that all three of the gospel writers have something to say about John the Baptist and his movement. Matthew wants to make it very clear in his story of Jesus' baptism that John himself recognized the superiority of Jesus, and that was why he was hesitant to baptize him. In fact, John said that Jesus was the one who should be doing the baptizing, not John. That the baptism of Jesus was really an epiphany event, a revealing of something important, is shown by the fact that all three of the synoptic gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, give triple evidence of something extraordinary taking place. The heavens were opened, the Spirit descended upon Jesus, empowering him for ministry, and a voice from heaven declared, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Ever since that epiphany event, Christians have remembered the baptism of Jesus and have practiced some form of it as a way of following Jesus Christ and of being identified as one of his disciples in the world. Baptism has endured as one of the sacraments of the church across 20 centuries and more, touching the lives of our own spiritual ancestors in this place, our own family members, and I suspect most of us here in this room this morning. As we think about starting over in this new year and of making a new beginning for ourselves, it's not a bad exercise to ask, what counts in a life that is pleasing to God? The New Testament tells us that was best revealed in the life of the one whose birth we just celebrated 2 weeks ago. Christians believe that in Jesus of Nazareth, the world finally sees what God requires and the possibility of what a real, live human being can become. Jesus is, in point of fact, our new beginning. We see in Jesus one who seeks justice, whose first recorded words following his baptism were, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The doing of justice, his whole life was marked by it. I just love those words by Shirley Irena Murray, which our choir sang this morning as the choral introit. "For everyone born, a place at the table, to live without fear and simply to be, to work, to speak out, to witness and worship, for everyone born, the right to be free. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace." Jesus was a person who knew no boundaries in relating to people, whether you happen to be a righteous person or a tax collector or a prostitute or a racial outcast or a leper or a person possessed by the forces of darkness. He loved them all, just as he loves us all. It was this man, more than any other who has ever lived, who walked with God in humility. Here was a man whose birth occurred in a place fit for animals, whose trade was that of a common carpenter, and whose death on a cross was in itself a complete and utter scandal. And yet, it is Jesus who claims the obedience and loyalty of all who would follow him, both in the waters of baptism and in lives of Christian discipleship. I ask you again, as you look out across the threshold of a new year and think about making a new beginning for yourself in the year 2017, how do you plan to live your life in the coming 12 months? What will be the qualities, the things that will stand out, the words and the actions that people will remember you for? The New Testament describes one who lived an extraordinary life every single day. And we call his name Jesus. And one of the best gifts we ever receive in this world is the power he gives each one of us to make a new beginning and to start life all over again. Thanks be to God for such a good gift. And let us pray. We give you thanks, our Father, for these moments together. You are gracious to us in so many ways, including the gift of starting over and beginning life again. Help us to do that today. In the spirit of the one who loves us and died for us and forever makes all things new, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Knowing as we do that our God is always ready and willing to hear us when we pray, let us join our hearts together this morning, first praying silently and then by offering the prayers of God's people this day. Let us pray. Creator God, you are our soul's delight. Your voice thunders over the waters, liberating the future from the past. In the Spirit's power and the waters of rebirth, Jesus was declared your blessed and beloved Son. May we recall our baptism this day and be disciples of the Anointed One. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. gracious God, what no eyes have seen, nor ears heard, nor human heart conceived, these things you have revealed to us through your Spirit. We know that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Lord, in your mercy. Great God, we believe that the unity of the people of God must be manifested and be active in a variety of ways, that we share one faith and have one calling, that we are of one soul and one mind, have one God and Father, are filled with one Spirit, are baptized with one baptism, that we eat of one bread and drink of one cup, that we confess one name and are obedient to one Lord, that we work for one cause and share one hope. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we thank you for the wideness of your mercy, where there is room enough for all who hunger and thirst for your righteousness. May we this day lift up those who are oppressed and bring deliverance to those who are in need. May we support those who are poor and help those who are in trouble. And especially this morning, we would pray for Mary Alice and the family of Amelia and all others who need your help this day. Lord, in your mercy. O generous God, as we have met the living Christ in worship today, so transform our lives that we may become the body of Christ in the world. And hear us this morning as we pray, using the words that Jesus taught his disciples when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
As we consider all the good our God has offered to us, let us also consider what we might give in return. And may we give so that even those in the darkest of places know of God's love and care.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for all of your many gifts, including your greatest gift to us in Jesus Christ. We pray that you would make us people who proclaim your good news in all that we do, especially in our giving to others. Help us to always be bearers of goodness and generosity to all, as your Son taught us to be. And we pray that all of our gifts would be used to better your world and bring light into the darkness. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
The invitation to Christian discipleship is extended now. What better day than today to profess your own faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or to express a desire to follow him in Christian baptism, or to unite with this church in one of the several ways we receive new members. As you respond this day, as we sing this great hymn, we would receive you with great joy. Each Sunday, it is our real pleasure at First Baptist Church to welcome new friends and sometimes returning friends, and today is no exception. We have visitors from the state of Florida, from here in our own city of Savannah, Georgia, returning friends from Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and also from Knoxville, Tennessee. Joe and Betty Googe are here. If you don't know it, Joe played the part of the baby Jesus in a very famous Christmas pageant back in the 1920s, and has been available. If we ever were to need that again, I think he's available to help out. We're glad to welcome them and all of you who are our guests today. Do give our people an opportunity to welcome you, if you would, following the service. Quickly, by way of announcement, because of the holiday last week, our fellowship hour, our first Sunday fellowship hour, has been moved to today. And it will be held in Lewis Hall, as always. Join us there for a time of refreshment and good conversation following this service today. Welcome once again to the new year of 2017. Our midweek gatherings of the church family have already resumed, as they did last week, after the Christmas break, with a wonderful Epiphany program enjoyed by all. This Wednesday night, we will be meeting, beginning with a fellowship meal at 5 o'clock and followed by activities for all age groups in the life of our church family. During the adult study time, Harold Tessendorf, who is the new executive director of the Coastal Empire chapter of Habitat for Humanity, will be speaking about that organization's efforts to provide affordable housing to persons in our area. And some of our members are going to be sharing their experiences at the recent fundraiser for Habitat held at Oglethorpe Mall. Join us if you will. And now, as we prepare to leave this good place, would you receive the benediction and the response by the choir? Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.